Maya Colantano grew up an only child. She always knew she wanted a bustling home of her own.
I used to read books all the time about foster families and adoptive families and always tried to talk my parents into adopting some siblings for me because I didn't like being an only child.
Now, sitting on a deep, comfy sofa in her cheerful living room, Colantano explains how she got that bustling home. She and her husband settled in a roomy yellow house in suburban Warwick, her husband in law school and Colantano working full-time. They had four children of their own, but as they grew older and more independent, a couple of bedrooms opened up. Colantano convinced her husband they could and should do more.
You know what? We're doing this kid thing anyway. We have the room. There are kids in need. Let's help some kids out.
The Colantanos took the 9-week class every foster family needs to be licensed. DCYF agents visited their home to make sure it was safe and to determine what kind of child might fit best. A few months later,
our license came in the mail on Tuesday, and the phone rang from DCYF on Wednesday.
The next day, baby Lana arrived in the arms of a DCYF worker.
She was the sweetest, sweetest little thing. She only weighed less than a pound and a half at birth. She'd been very, very premature. And her mom had been using drugs, and her mom was in drug treatment.
The Colantanos helped Lana grow into a healthy little girl. DCYF arranged visits with her birth mother and paid for childcare so the Colantanos could keep working.
It took about a year, but mom got clean, got her life together. We developed a relationship with her. Through the process, we all fell head over heels in love with this baby.
And that was Colantano's first lesson in the heartbreak of fostering. Giving Lana back to her mother devastated the family. But in time, the grief subsided and Colantano wanted to foster again. DCYF soon called about a 10-month-old girl whose parents couldn't take care of her.
You know, the car seat is still here and the high chair and the crib is set to the right height. And I thought she could just kind of like plunk right in.
But Colantano soon realized baby Navaya wasn't just going to plunk right in.
But when she handed her to me, I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on with this 10-month-old child? Like she didn't wrap her little legs around me. She was as stiff as a board and her little hands were all balled up into fists.
The Colantanos took Navaya to lots of doctors who finally diagnosed her with cerebral palsy. The state has helped with Navaya's care, physical therapists, a special wheelchair. The family adapted and eventually adopted Navaya. Colantano says Navaya taught her another lesson about fostering, expect the unexpected. Since then, the Colantanos have fostered 10 children, some for a few weeks, some for months or longer. A picture of each child hangs in the stairway.
I was telling you about. Here's Cody, who you've met. He's here today. This little guy, Elijah, he was only here for about 6 weeks.
Hundreds more children could be in foster families now if there were more to go around. Most of them are older, living instead in group homes.
We're experiencing crisis and finding foster homes for young people 8, 9, 10, 13, 14.
Lisa Gillette runs a nonprofit called Foster Forward. One of the organization's goals is to help DCYF find more foster families. In her office just across the river from downtown Providence, Gillette says she's heard all the reasons people think they can't foster.
That they have children of their own, that they don't have time, they don't know how you do that, I could never do that, I would become too attached.
Ask someone if they're interested in fostering, she says, and you hear a lot of no thanks. It's easier, she says, to ask people to mentor a foster child first, to volunteer an hour a week. To ask more means asking a family to foster a child who may have experienced some trauma, whether from neglect or abuse, and that can be challenging for any family, especially without the right support.
We don't fully understand and appreciate and invest in what it takes to support a family to care for a child who's experienced so much trauma.
Gillette understands it's daunting, the idea of taking in a child who might have troubling behaviors. But she says there's another reason Rhode Island has difficulty recruiting foster families. Until now, the state had no strategic, coordinated campaign to find families who might be able to help. That takes a little money, and DCYF's money has been flowing into group homes instead.
our investments are not where our values are. And we're all working together to try to flip that. We're heavily invested in more residential care, congregate care, out-of-state residential care, and everybody agrees that that's not where we want to be spending our money.
Kevin Savage oversees foster family recruiting for the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. He acknowledges what DCYF has done in the past hasn't worked as well as it should, but he says the agency wants to do better. A new federal grant will help them mine data on foster families to learn what has worked and where. He hopes to recruit more families from the communities where foster kids already live.
Close to where they need to be, so in their school systems, in their communities, close to people they know. And so that's kind of the barrier we want to break through.
Savage knows the consequences of failing in this effort. Rhode Island already has one of the highest rates in the country for placing kids in group homes, and studies show that puts them at higher risk for problems later in life. Foster Forward's Lisa Gillette wishes more families knew how much they were needed.
I think that Rhode Islanders care very deeply about their community, and if they had a greater level of awareness of the need, that might inspire them to step forward.
At home in Warwick, foster parent Maya Colantano says fostering isn't always easy, but she believes it's an investment in a better future for a child.
Every child with consistency and, you know, sticking with it and knowing that these people are not going to give up on me can grow and develop. Is love enough? No. You can't just love away their pain or love away their trauma or hurt, but certainly love and consistency coupled with good clinical supports can make a huge difference for kids.
Colantano now helps other families make a difference for kids. She conducts home studies for families that want to get licensed to foster, and she shares her experience with support groups. She says it helps to remember that foster families aren't immune to the forces that lead other families to become involved in the child welfare system. Addiction, mental illness, poverty. Those families are just up against incredible odds, she says, and she thinks fostering gives them the breathing room to try to beat those odds. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.